From cradle to grave, every moment of your life is one word after another, overlapping all the words from all of those who've crossed your path in a never-ending cycle of tale and experience. The concept is simple. The guest chooses the theme, the coin is flipped, and the winner is the first to tell a story based on their chosen theme. The loser gets to share a second. There are no prizes, no contests, no rules, and no boundaries. Just a few minutes spent exchanging the narrative from moments of our own human existence. Welcome to Tell Me a Story. Now, did you get the list? Did you get the 101, the list?
I got it. Yeah.
What is the last thing you purchased?
Fuck, okay, here it comes. The last thing I purchased was a lethal injection for my hedgehog.
Woohoo! Is that true?
It's true.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
That was a cute hedgehog. Okay. What was his name?
Norbert.
That's adorable. That was Hagrid's dragon's name, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
That's because you're wrong.
I'm wrong?
Yeah.
Explain.
Harry Potter kicks ass.
Okay, I'm going to the first four movies were terrible to me.
The movies are awful. They don't get good until the end.
No, they're terrible.
Read the books.
Oh, okay, I'll read the book.
The books are great. What happens with the book? Let me just lay this out for you, and then I'll introduce you. The books start, the first one, the Sorcerer's Stone, or I guess for you folks up there in the Northern Provinces, the Philosopher's Stone.
They really changed the name?
They did, because in America, a philosopher is the unemployed guy that makes you French fries with your Big Mac. And up there, apparently, philosophers do magic.
Yes.
So... the Brits Watch make out. Fun of us a bit, but, who takes a guy who makes French fries seriously?
Well, yeah, totally.
I've been the French fry guy.
The Philosopher's Stone is an integral part of alchemy that has been for centuries.
Yeah, we don't know about alchemy here. Alchemy is what your dad does before he goes to rehab. So, yes, I like making fun of my country. I am fed up with it right now. So anyway, the first one starts out, it's very simple. It is a children's book. It truly is. And I was going to send it down to my niece and nephew in Nevada. And my sister, bless her heart, is quite religious. Not oppressively so, but almost. And right. So I'm like, it's about witches and stuff, so I probably ought to read it and make sure it's okay. So I read it. And I went, that was kind of fun. I wonder what happens next. So you read the second book and then the third book. And as imagine that you got the Philosopher's Stone in the third grade, yeah. Right? Every grade you get older, your books get more and more complex with a little more depth and a little more character development. Well, that's how she wrote it. By the time she wrote that last book, basically, her audience was now in high school and could take deeper shit.
Yeah.
And so the books got bigger and bigger and bigger and longer and longer and longer. And the character development became more and more. I mean, it was just wonderful to feel it grow. Now, I don't compare the two ever out loud, and I'm about to do it recording, but... if you ever read Master and Commander by Patrick O'Brien,
I will.
That is the first of what some consider to be 20 novels. But what it actually is one long story that they broke into 20 pieces because he kept writing it in spurts. Wonderful. I mean, wonderful book. But as you read it and you watch the two... protagonists develop, grow older, turn into their midlife selves, through all of the slings and arrows that life in the Napoleon Wars brings. There was a growth to it. It started in a simple place and it got more complex, and you read with it and you grew with it.
And that was the nice thing about the Harry Potter novels to me was, is that she started out simple, as though she was writing to one of her children at a certain age. And as that child grew older, it's like the books developed and evolved with her. And the story's fun. And Emma Watson. So,
Emma Watson. She certainly developed.
And evolved.
And evolved.
Now, I am today, this evening, whenever you listen to this, doesn't matter, Thom Floyd, the mighty Thom from Nova Scotia, Canada, has answered the Skype call. I should probably get Forrest on the Skype, huh?
What's that?
I should probably get Forrest on the Skype at some point.
Forrest on the Skype.
Because he's got to tell some stories. He's got fun stories.
I think he does. Let's have a three-way. I mean...
He and I bartended together for years. So we both know some of each other's deepest, darkest stories.
Right.
And by bartended, I meant that was what we did for the money we used to buy alcohol for the rest of the day. Now, just real quick... You are a teacher, correct?
I am a teacher.
And you teach biology.
That's what I practice to teach was science and history. Those are my two teachable subjects.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm actually a clinic. Well, not a clinical supervisor. I oversee the teaching. Through behavioral training of preschoolers with autism. So we teach them things like language.
Use your words,
communication. Try to teach them to be as typical kids as they can be. And just to have a more functional life. So that's kind of what I got going on right now.
That's really deep and makes me wonder at your sense of humor. No. I don't mean that in a mean. I mean that's the kind of stuff that would sort of suck the soul out of me.
Well, it's extremely rewarding, to see the change. I just saw one of my little kids. I've had him for exactly a year, and he went from just making one sound, maybe not even words, to sounds. And just wanting one particular songbook and to listen to people sing song to him, to being able to speak in full sentences and love superheroes. And I play superheroes with him all the time. He can play with toys now. He's a huge Captain America fan right now. He's like psyched for the movie. It's really an amazing transformation.
So Canadian kids, they also realize Alpha Flight sucks and they're cool with Captain America.
Yeah. I'm just like, hey guys, you want to like look at my Vindicator comics? Come on, nobody's on board for the Vindicator. I'm like, come on, I've got these Puck action figures. No one wants Puck.
Sorry, dude.
Don't even get me started on Sasquatch. And everyone thinks Wolverine's American.
That's not fair. Wolverine is the second most badass Canadian.
Next to me.
No, you're number three. Gretzky's number one.
Are you a big Gretzky fan?
No, I'm just trying to make you feel at home.
Okay. I like his daughter. I've never seen his daughter.
She is not handling being the wealthy very well.
No.
In the typical way of, here are a bunch of pictures of me without clothes on. Won't daddy be proud?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's one of those things I'm having a hard time finding... I go, hey, look at the pretty girl. And then I go, oh, yeah, that's somebody's daughter. And I have daughters. And so this is wrong. Okay. Wrong. Put some clothes on, young lady.
Did that just ruin everything for you, having daughters?
Did you?
No.
No.
What?
No, having daughters is going to be the biggest deal in my life. And I am psyched up for it well in advance. They're 11 and 9, and I'm scared to shit. So, because I still recall, I am a teenage boy, and therefore, I know the drives.
Yes.
And the world feels creepier now than it did before.
I can imagine.
Yeah. okay, so a million years ago, I'll start the stories tonight.
Let's go.
A million years ago, the first time I broke my nose, I was 14 years old. I was in the eighth grade. I don't know how you guys do grades up there. I imagine it's four possum, six possum.
Yes. Well, we don't have beaver, possums, so we beavers. Go
beavers, you earn your honors, Maple Leafs. But so I was in the eighth grade and went to catch a fly ball. I know you guys have baseball, so I'm not being weird. I won't throw
out. Call it Jabberwock.
We're playing it's cricket. We're playing American cricket.
Yes.
No, so we're playing baseball, and their fly ball went up, and I went to get it, and I looked right into the sun. And then over the top of my glove came the ball, and my brain, I remember this moment crystal clear, for just one instant was like, eclipse? Pow. Pop.
It's just here's a bunch of cracking.
Yeah, I mean it hurt. And
what's it sound like when your nose breaks? Oh, God.
But imagine that internalized at about 100 times louder.
Oh.
And it just there wasn't a crunch; it was just a loud pop, and it flattened and bent my nose over to the left. And then the coolest thing about breaking your nose. The coolest thing, and I mean this sort of half seriously and half flippant, is that until you're used to your nose breaking, which I am at this point in my life, your eyes will no longer track in tandem.
What?
Yeah, they lose the ability to be synchronized for a minute. And so they go wherever the hell they want. They just start.
So you're like
flipping.
Chameleon for a little while.
Yeah, for just about 10, 15 seconds.
Shit.
Your eyes don't track, which gives you vertigo. Some people, it did me, and that made me vomit.
Oh no! You're looking at the sky. You're looking at your balls.
You know and so it's like, bam, pain. What the fuck? Dizzy. And then because the whole front of your face is this crater of pain.
Yeah.
It like triples and. My dad came out, laughed at me, put me in the car, you know, and off we go to the emergency room, which was right around the corner from us, which, because I'm in America, probably cost my dad thousands of dollars. And they kind of squished it back into nose shape a little bit and put some stitches across it, and off we went. And then later, I went to a different doctor who did the nose straightening, which is a story that can only be told properly if you can see what I'm doing. So I'm not going to tell it now.
Okay.
But the cracky, crumbly, snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies noise you're thinking of?
Yeah.
When you get your nose straightened, that's when that happens.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a tiny crowbar shoved up your nose and your nose is pulled straight.
What?
Yeah. It's really quite uncomfortable. You probably YouTube it. It's probably on YouTube by now. So I received from the emergency room doctor a 2-week supply of Darvocet. I don't know if you're old enough for Darvocet.
No.
It was the OxyContin of its time. This would be mid to late 80s. It was a big red pill full of happiness and painkiller.
I got rid of it because it was good.
Well, yeah, it was really good. I think you can still get it, but it's now it's considered, I think, a type 1 narcotic. So I took those for a few days. No big deal, trying to get the pain in my head to go away. And we were at in gym class in the eighth grade 3 or 4 days later. And a friend of mine really rolled the hell out of his ankle.
Right.
You know, I mean, bent it. I was surprised it hadn't broken. And he had a locker next to mine. And so I basically carried him from gym class to our lockers to go to our next. And he's just like, oh my God, it hurts. Now, this is before angry, bitter, jaded, worldly me had ever really been anywhere or done anything. So in my naivete, and I swear to you, I was naive as fuck. I'm like, oh, well, I have these pills for my nose. My nose feels fine. Do you want one? Sure, he said. So I give him a pill, and he puts it in his pocket to eat later and then promptly forgets about it. Time passes. I get home sometime that evening. The American Fork Police Department shows up at our door to talk to my dad about why his kid is a drug dealer.
Oh, God.
My dad says, what? Not that one. That one, maybe, but not that one. And I explained what I'd done. And his mom had found the pill in his pants and called the cops.
Oh.
And which I totally get now that I'm a parent. At the time, I'm like, what a bitch. But now I totally get it. And so blah, blah, come and go. I have to do 200 hours of community service.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, because Utah sucks. Oh, I have to do 200 hours. Now, down the street from us was a really weird place. It was across the street from the hospital, funny enough, called the Dan W. Peterson School for Developmental Education. And I somehow, for the life of me, I cannot figure out how the hell I ended in there. I ended up in the section of the school for motor development for handicapped kids. And
didn't sell them drugs, did you?
Fuck no. So I started working with these kids that had that, you know, they were wheelchair bound for life. And so we'd put them, you know, in and out of the hot sits baths and we'd take them around and we'd teach them. And at the time, and again, I think this is probably before your time because you were young and vibrant, you douche. The computer that they used, especially this kid, I'll just say his first name. His first name was Randy. He was a wonderful, wonderful child. Couldn't speak. Really had no control over his limbs, like multi-elbowed, multi-kneed, and just kind of moved a lot and could move his head. And so what he used to communicate was you would wheel him up to a computer and then strap this apparatus to the back of his wheelchair so that he could move his head back and forth. And if he moved it to the left, it would advance a cursor along a preset alphabet on a computer screen. And then when he tapped it on the right, it would lock that and start writing out a message. And that was how Randy wrote. And it takes Randy a while to say something. Obviously, it's like it was almost as bad as trying to wait for Diane Rehm to finish a sentence now. I don't know if you're an NPR guy or even know who Diane Rehm is, but she's old CDC. Now and she talks slow. So, but I liked this kid. I liked all my kids, but Randy and I got along great. And so he really wanted to talk. Well, inevitably what happens is it started to wear sores on his temples because I had 200 hours to work off in a summer. I was there a lot. And it started to wear sores. And so I took measurements of the apparatus, took them back home, had my dad take me down to the store, bought a bunch of stuff, and then rebuilt it for him with, cushiony bits and a better fitting thing that strapped onto the chair. Because other kids used it. It couldn't just be for him. And, his mom went nuts. The teachers went nuts. Everybody was great. I went from having 200 hours to serve to time served. They were just like, none of the volunteers have ever done something like this before. And I'm like, well, he's my buddy and his head hurt. So I fixed it. The fuck. So I know just because of, it was a thing I did and I didn't do it to try and get time off my community service. I did it because this kid that I liked was getting hurt because he liked to talk to me and because nobody had time to sit around and talk to him. And I can't imagine, and couldn't then and still can't now, how fucking lonely it really was for somebody to be in that particular shape, in that particular situation.
Yeah.
So I did just a little thing that served two purposes. And one was to make his head stop bleeding, and two was to speed up his typing so that we could have a conversation that didn't take 3 hours. And so let's be honest, there was a little bit of selfishness in there. I wanted to speed shit up.
Randy, you're taking forever.
Come on, type.
Clickety, clickety, clickety.
Beautiful kid, had a beautiful laugh. I have no idea what happened to him. I tried to hang out longer, but blah, blah, state regulations, me not having any education. The second time I tried to re-up to volunteer, they just wanted to stick me with different kids. And I'm like, but I like these kids. And they're like, well, you can go with these kids. And I'm like, but they can walk and talk. I want to go back with the kids I know. But yeah, that was for me a ridiculously fulfilling event in my life. That's and I don't know that it had any prolonged effect because there wasn't any struggle or anything to get over. My best friend growing up was a kid across the street who had Down syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to hang out with him. He was just a neat kid. I liked him. He had cable.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was new then. All right, Thom.
Okay.
Tell me a story.
All right. Well, what you're saying about you know, kids not being able to communicate, and you know how frustrating it is. I want to start by saying autism is very misunderstood in the world.
That is true.
I think people can agree with that. Doing the work that I do, I've kind of come to discover that. Children with autism, people with autism are just kids and people who don't know, who are just as smart as us, just as capable as us, but they just don't know what to do with the world. It's that this narrative, this kind of society we've created is not conducive to the way their minds work. So if they want, are you still there, by the way?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just checking.
You're talking. I'm listening.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you.
Shut up.
Just, you know, so the things that people get from... So basically, you can boil most people down to wanting one thing above all else, and that's attention. And all these kids really want... They like people just assume they're in their own
world. What? I have no idea what you're speaking about.
Everybody.
It's a lie, sir. A damnable lie. Go ahead.
Money, power, all that. It's all just attention-based. We're very selfish creatures. So then, like, people mistake kids for autism for wanting to be on their own and be on the sidelines, not interacting, but they all want attention. It's just they don't know how to get it, and they do it in very weird ways. You know, it's one thing that I've had a sock, you know, somebody poop in a sock and take the sock and use it like a nunchuck and attack me. And I've had, you know.
That is the coolest thing I have ever heard. I swear to God, I was going to do that before I die.
Yeah, for Asgard. You know. that's all I can imagine. And the thing is, it's funny because, you know that scene from Anchorman where he's talking to his dog? He's like, you pooped in the refrigerator? He's like, wow, I'm not even mad. That's amazing. That's exactly how I felt where I'm just like, you pooped in a sock and now you're attacking me with it? Wow.
That took some thought. That is some ambidextrous shit right there, man.
Yeah, and you're only 5 years old. That is unbelievable. And it's just amazing to me because prior to doing the work that I do and to interacting with the kids that I interact, I realized how immature I was and how kind of selfish I was. I've learned to be more understanding and caring. And I think that also comes along with, you know, my political awakening as well. I was never a very political person.
Sure.
Right around the age of 23, I kind of started to see things a bit more clearly and realized, you should be liberal because it just makes the most sense, and the smartest people are liberal.
Thanks, man. I like
other people, and liberals seem to like other people. I tried, like, I was watching, like, I binge watched that TV show Bullshit, and like I got very libertarian for a while.
Oh, sure.
And I realized a few years later, I'm just like, okay, so basically everything that most conservatives I know view, like their views, or the things that piss them off or anything. Like, it's shit that I got bothered with when I was 14 years old. So I have a feeling that most people who are conservative or subscribe to many, at least social conservative ideas, have not developed past the age of 14.
Okay.
And I don't know where I'm going with this, but what I'm trying to say is, I just don't like that. So what I'm trying to say is, being in this job, working with kids who don't know, and like putting yourself in their shoes and learning to be more, I've become more understanding. I've become more liberal. You know, I still like a good dirty joke here and there, but I legitimately care more about people, and like I don't get as bothered by people, even assholes. I'm just like, okay, well, why is this guy being an asshole? Is he having a bad day? Is there something wrong? Did his dog die?
It is important. It is important to remember that some people are just assholes.
Then that's where the conservatives come in.
Yeah.
Republicans. I should say all conservatives, because there are good ones.
Can I tell you how hot you are right now?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Ladies, oh, tell me a story.
Well, that's okay. So you and I, our relationship, as it were,
yes,
has the weirdest root. And yeah, for people that don't listen to the comic book show or don't listen to the Left Show, you were on the internet, I believe, in between self-abuse sessions. Because instead of typing boobies, you typed in, you found us on the internet on accident, as I recall.
I absolutely did. Well, you know, I was listening to a lot of political comedy podcasts, and it was right around the 2012 election.
Yeah. We were very popular then.
Yeah, I can imagine. You guys, I actually tried finding you again just for shits and giggles, and it was a bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But
it'll heat up this year, and then it'll cool down, and then the next presidential election will be all popular and again.
Chris Christie, when he runs, oh my God.
That's going to be fun. That is going to be fun.
That is just an easy target. And not just because he's
Chris Christie, you know, is America's Tom Ford.
Oh, yes. Yes. He is a Rob Ford. Like, he's
Rob
more
Ford. Rob Ford. You're right.
What would he be smoking, though?
Down here, probably fatty meats.
A zing.
Yeah.
Oh, what was I talking about? Okay, so I found you guys. I found all these great shows, but I wanted more, and I typed in left wing politics. I typed in progressive into the iTunes machine, and one of the biggest, prettiest logos that popped up was the Left Show.
Aww.
And I discovered this, you know, these funny guys who were from a place I never thought of, Utah. Like, isn't that like,
we try not to think of it either.
Isn't that like a desert? I don't know anything about it. And then I found out there was snow there, and I forgot that they had a Winter Olympics.
We're in arid desert.
You're in arid desert.
Okay. Yeah, it's the half of the year, not a damn thing. It's just hot and stupid, and then half of the year it's snow. But hey, thanks to the global warming that our legislature won't admit exists, we're losing our snow. So we'll just be a desert soon.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah, I'll be moving up there. We can get a sailboat.
You should.
I've seen a picture of a harbor in Nova Scotia. I realize that's like saying, hey, I saw a house on a block in Utah. But it was beautiful. And it's I've always been interested in New Scotland ever since I found out that a lot of Scottish people died there.
That's right.
Not understanding extreme weather. The Scottish.
No. Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, like, that just shows what kind of conditions we're in.
Ugh, the rain comes from the wrong direction. We're all going to perish.
There's a very famous story from around these parts. There wasn't Nova Scotia, but it was PEI, when there was actually a group of Scots that came over on a boat, And when they landed, and this is supposedly true, they landed on the island and they just took one look at the trees and how gigantic they were, and they just sat on the beach and started crying. So it's just, we have a brutal life up here, I guess. But
oh my god, did you see the size of that tree?
Oh, what was a tree? I don't even know.
Was it short or was it tall? It was tall.
It was tall.
Because fuck all grows in Scotland is basically what it is. This is the people that found a way to make a living for a couple of thousand years by chopping up sod and burning it and making whiskey with it. So I imagine that a big tree would scare the shit out of a guy who, agriculturally speaking, corn would be pretty big.
Right. Yeah. He was just, they were burning the opposite of trees. They were digging down.
Yeah. I've seen some of the peat farms, and they really do. It's several feet thick, and they just go and they just cut.
Yeah.
Three, 4 feet deep.
Big slabs out of the ground.
Weird. So what took you? So you found us that way, and we must have mentioned the comic book show at some point.
The world's you absolutely did. So
greatest comic book podcast.
I was listening to the Left Show and shit, and like all this stuff that I love kept popping up, like comic books and superheroes, Star Trek. I grew up the next generation. Though,
I'm sorry.
So
Let's fly through space and have a nice long chat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jean-Luc Picard, he's got a beautiful head.
Warp 9, Mr. Riker.
Yeah, the way he's talking to be had.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I still remember that vividly. what are we talking about? Okay, so you're talking about stuff, and then like a few of your sounders would be like scenes from Firefly, like the one where Mal talking about how something about a better man, and then he stabbed the guy.
Oh, it's still my favorite episode. I'm a good man.
I'm all right. That's amazing. and then you put the sounder for the theme song, the Jack of All Trades. And I was just
yes,
like,
dear God, I did yes.
And I was just like, man, I was just thinking about that show the other day. Like, I got to research these guys more. And I dug deep and then discovered Hold 322. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They got a comic book podcast.
Wait, did you say Hold 322? The world's greatest comic book podcast?
They have the world's greatest comic book podcast.
And people, incidentally enough, could find that at hold322.com.
Hop on over.
So you started listening to both shows, but you first reached out to us through the comic book show,
right?
As I recall,
I know comic books.
Sure, you do.
I don't know comic books.
And you were funny, and you wrote quite regularly.
Yeah.
And so one day I got the bright idea when I had the Skype box working. Hey, we should just call him and see what he's all about.
Yeah. You know what? Can I confess something here?
Yeah.
No, actually, my initial goal from writing right from the start
was
I'm going to get on this show.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm going to write them until they put me on the show because I think I'm okay.
Dude, you are fucking hilarious. You are great to have on the show. I mean, that is not just me kissing ass because you're pretty and you take your shirt off.
Yeah. Oh, I mean. Yeah, we got to get some women in the studio.
You know, I have found out now, we had on the Left Show not too long back, Danielle Uberales from the Hello Sweetie podcast. And the reason I invited her on the Left Show, well, the two reasons were, one, she's already on a comic show.
Yes.
You know, a nerd culture show. So why would I make her do that? And then she, when she comments and likes and I see her activity on Facebook, it was always on my political shit, much like you. Knows a shitload about comics, so for some reason only seems to see my political stuff.
Right.
And so I'm like, hey, you want to come on the show? She had moved off to Oregon for a little while and came back. And I noticed she moved back. I'm like, you should come on the show. She's like, great. And now she has said, oh, you have a comic book show too. So that cracks me up. Yeah. And so, yeah, we're going to have her on there. And we had the beautiful, vivacious Holly Braithwaite.
That's right.
On when Bob was dead for a little while. But she had just moved to Seattle from Salt Lake City.
Yes.
And we just could not make Skype work well enough at the time. And it didn't sound good. So, you know, she got frustrated and told us to fuck off, which we totally had coming. That's fine. No animus there. We're still, she's a pretty girl. We're not mad.
No. Funny as fuck, dude. So,
hang on just one second. Hey, honey. The door's open. Could you shut it? Because I can hear you doing whatever it is you're doing. This is the fun of a family, a studio in my house. So, okay, so that's how you and I, basically, that's where we became, you know.
Best friend.
Lovers. And yeah. Best friends, yeah, what you said. And then, you know, so we've been running into each other, and I honestly, I didn't know you were a teacher until like 2 weeks ago.
Really? I think I told you guys one.
I pay attention. And and you may have said it, and I just didn't, it didn't come through, but... when something Johnny brought up the other day, and it's like, oh, well, that makes sense, sort of.
Yeah.
And so you ended up in teaching, but now walk me through really quick, because I'm not going to keep you long, because I know it's like 4 a.m. there. But when you were going through your, do they call it college there? Or do they call it university?
Both. It's interchangeable.
When you were going through school.
Mm-hmm.
And you were working on the degrees that you were working on.
Yes.
Did you think you would end up in development like this, or is this something that came along and you took it for a reason and then it turned into a thing?
It came along, I took it for a reason, it turned into a thing. We have, I guess, what you would call a glut of teachers in Canada. A significant glut. We don't need teachers. I found that out a little way through college, but I like.
We do that with lawyers and graphic artists, just so you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys need teachers, but you treat them really badly now.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Sorry.
So
we treat our graphic artists shitty too. So.
Oh man.
I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm actually looking at England now. I guess England needs teachers. I don't know about graphic artists.
Find out, will you? I want over there.
I will. We should pick everybody up. I'll get a job for you and John. Bob, he can do what Bob does over there. And we'll have a great time.
Yeah.
It'll be like Downton Abbey.
Okay.
That's how everybody lives over there, right?
Absolutely. So you're finishing up school.
Yes.
And much like a lawyer in America, you were like, oh, shit, I've done something.
Like, yes, this is bad. I don't know what I'm doing. So I don't have any money. I owe them tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know how to pay this. So I found a job. Entry level at as a behavioral interventionist. So basically, this is really hard to explain, but
let me give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot.
If two kids are about to come to blows, you jump in between them.
Close, yeah. So
I am an interventionalist.
I intervene.
That's your Alpha Flight superhero name.
Major interventionist, yes.
The interventionalist.
Just half his body, just a maple leaf. The other half is a beaver.
Do you think Grandpa Canada would approve of your behavior? Oh,
no,
we're sorry, Mr. Floyd. So sorry.
Look at that behavior.
That is, we have Uncle Sam. You have Grandpa Canada, right?
Grandpa Canada. I am going to Google that.
Or is it Bucky the Beaver? What do you guys have? What's your unofficial mascot?
Who tells
you to go to war? Who tells you to join the army?
The queen.
The queen.
That's what we got going on up here, man.
Sorry, man.
I've only ever had one head of state. You guys are lucky. You've had like a bunch. I've had the queen.
Yeah.
Elizabeth II forever.
Oh, hello. But she's adorable. I like her.
You do?
I do.
I want one of those dogs.
She's hard. Oh, a corgi?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I got a hard time thinking of them as a dog. I think they should be a new classification of pet. But they are adorable.
They're glorious.
Yeah. Just like they're like derp on four legs.
Yes. they would compliment you well. Shit, what were we talking about?
So you end up taking this entry level position as a behavioral interventionalist.
Yes. Essentially, so I implement programs given to me by the clinical supervisor.
So if I understand correctly, you're the reason Wolverine left Canada then is because you took his old job.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly. I am Weapon B. Weapon B. Fuck, it's so dumb. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, and so basically I implement programs. These programs are... what we call, they're based in a science called applied behavior analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But most people would commonly know that as behavior modification. That's what it used to be called, but that sounds kind of cold and brutal and
refreshing. And electricity filled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the thing is that we teach through, we don't modify behavior through punishment or through any other means other than reinforcement. So we provide kids with things they find reinforcing, things they enjoy. So my initial job was my clinical supervisor writes either a plan to manage this behavior through, withholding or implementing a reinforcer, and to teach them directly, their shapes or their colors or things like that. And I eventually got into a clinical supervisor position. So now I analyze a child's behavior and I try to determine the function. Like if a child's coming at me with a sock full of poop, like a nunchuck.
Don't cheer.
The function of that behavior is probably some form of attention that he's not getting. So he's lashing out to get that attention, either like a person's reaction or get a person to scream.
He really so is lashing out, that. Isn't he? That's
right.
A pretty accurate description.
Yeah. So I would determine that through a collection of data, and because you don't know for sure until you collect the data.
Flying then, stool samples, perhaps?
Yes. Analyze stool samples and, do some nunchuck ballistics. Nunchuck poop ballistics. Holy shit, this is not a good description of my job whatsoever.
Okay, let me try to break it down then, because I'm not helping you. It sounds to me, as the layman, as though your job is to work with the children or whatever, and then based on each individual, let's call it a case or individual, you determine... Yeah. What the core reasons are for anti-societal behavior, such as nunchuck poo socks.
Yeah.
And figure out the best course of, let's not call it treatment per se, but that's the word I'm going to use. Which intellectual devices you will use to help the child to develop the rewiring they need so that they don't get on a bus in downtown Ontario and start swinging a poo sock at people.
That's what
you
wow, good job.
That's what I do, dude. I repackage. I'm in advertising.
Just like write everything for me and just talk for me for the rest of my life.
As long as every other sentence has the phrase poo sock in it.
I think I can work it in.
Mm-hmm.
I think I definitely can work it in.
So you've been
doing
this a couple of
years.
That's
a very apt description. Treatment, we call it therapy, but treatment, fits well. So that's what I do. And like I said, it's made me a more compassionate, understanding person. And really, I think it's kind of, I admit that now because animals all of a sudden like me better. I've got like every dog comes up to me and loves me, and cats love me. I get birds swooping down and like landing on my shoulders and pecking at me. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, animals never hated me, but they've never like actively seeked me out. So now I'm kind of like the Snow White of hairy Canadian men. How's that? Do I have a job in communications? Do I have a knack for communications, Jeff? Or?
You betcha.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll work on it. It's a little rusty. Okay. We'll get you there.
I have no experience in radio.
So I'll tell you what. When I first came out, I have a very right-wing family, very, very strict conservative. I don't know if you guys do the same right-wing, left-wing we do up there. Down here,
there's
but
a lot more gray area.
Yeah, we don't. We got it. I think we murdered the gray area in the last 10 years. But, you know, it's like my folks grew up Republican. My stepmother was a Democrat until she married my dad, and she'd do anything he said. So she changed political affiliation. But I was raised with the example of compassion and tolerance and equality from my father, even though he was a Republican. He's a Goldwater Republican. He was a Republican back when that wasn't fucking evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was young, he taught me, you know, respect for women. When he was going through the divorce with my mom, who I will freely admit was pretty psycho at the time, and really did a lot of permanent damage to my dad financially, he took it, and he didn't rally in rage, and he didn't jump up and down, and he never called her names. You know, it's like my kids, they eat my food and I call them names. You know, they steal a cracker from me and I'm like, you little shit. And, you know, so this was it. And my dad, racial tolerance, not that we'd had any opportunity to be intolerant, but he grew up in a very white agricultural area that used certain phrases and words, and then he joined the army and went, not gonna do that anymore.
That does not work.
Yeah, and then he went for on a mission for his church down in the American South, and he just saw firsthand how despicable white people really are.
Right.
And I mean, I've run into that a few times. I'm a lefty and I'm a liberal, and I explain that by I became one when I still had compassion.
Yes.
And now, as I say to my people who are getting to know me, it's like, I hate people. I like persons. I like persons, but I hate people, especially white people. Can't stand white people. We're awful. And white privilege is, I am poor and white. I'm doing okay right now, but for the most of my life, since I left home at 16, I've been pretty poor.
Yeah.
And poor for a white guy is still 10 times easier than poor for anybody else.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, no matter how shitty I have it, other people have always had it shittier. Huh?
Do you want to know how white I am?
Well, you live in Nova Scotia.
That's right. I've only ever broken one bone. It was my finger, and I broke it trying to get out of the tub.
Okay.
That's how white I am.
Yeah, it would have been whiter to have broken it playing hockey.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, or cricket.
I'm more fop white, though. I'm very fop white.
Fop. Gotcha.
Fop.
Yeah. You're like Lord Grantham.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm more like the Irish dude who was trying to shtup the daughter.
Ah, yes.
First season. I've only seen the first season, so I don't know what happens next. And I loved it, and I can't believe I haven't seen the rest, and I still can't for the life of me figure out why the hell I loved that show. She's like, this is the best show ever about rich people eating lunch and the people that make it for them. Yeah. I don't know.
Pageantry?
There's no nudity. I mean, I will freely admit, while I really like the Game of Thrones, if it didn't have boobs, I probably wouldn't watch it as much.
No, me neither.
Yeah, it's why I really wish The Walking Dead had made it to HBO.
God damn, it'd be so good.
Lauren Graham. What's her name? Who played Andrea?
Andrea, I love her.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in love.
She's still alive in the comic books. Very frustrating.
I can understand how you get conflicted there.
Yeah. So there I am. I'm being raised by a strict conservative, mm-hmm. you know, and something he said is he's like, oh, of course I agree with my elected leaders and my church leaders. Of course I agree with them. I'm like, all right, throw me this then. This is last year. What's your deal with the gay people getting married? Why is that such a big deal? He's like, it's really not.
Huh.
I'm like, well, then how do you stand up with these people and this and that? And the other? He says, I'm a Republican. I've always been a Republican. That's what I'm going to do. Reminded me of Zell Miller, who was a Democrat that kept doing Republican things. He's like, oh, I'm a Democrat. I was born one.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like I was born a white guy. Of course I'm a white guy. Can't change that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the Republican that my dad is. And so all of these examples that my poor Republican father set for me have made me into the screaming liberal I am now. And all of the violence and more psychopathic, you know, lashing out that I do comes from my mother.
Yes.
And being able to empathize comes from my stepmother, who was really good at that. She was, without a doubt, probably the best human being I have ever or will ever meet in my life. I'm very sorry that she died last year. But she's up in heaven, apparently, hanging out with my dog. And that's pretty cool. Me being a Democrat was... I didn't know what the hell I was, even in college. Granted, I was only 16, and I don't think you should be able to pick by then.
No.
But I did notice that my liberal friends, my lefty friends, were a lot more fun to hang out with. Yeah. And I remember at about 16...
They had a lot more sex, too, I bet.
No.
No?
Oh. No. And I'll talk to you about that some other time.
Okay.
No, it's Utah, man. Nobody was having sex but me. I loved me. Left me,
yeah,
right but... me and on it, I tell you. So, yeah, so I went to my first anti-abortion rally when I was just before I turned 17. And I didn't like any of the people there. I'm adopted, so I kind of get it. You know,
yeah.
I was a flip of a coin away from ending up in a trash can. I get it. But I'm just like, wow, you guys are all so angry. And honestly, this is none of your fucking business what people do. You know,
yeah.
It's a zygote.
Yeah.
If someone sneezed a zygote on you, you'd think it was pretty icky. So I don't understand what the hubbub is all about. And then I was working in politics, very, very third, fourth tier at the time, as well in a, I would call it a communications. Back then it was like running the copier and making sure that the flyers didn't look stupid. But Democrats paid their bills. Republicans didn't. That finally cinched it.
Yeah.
That's changed over the years to Democrats don't pay their bills. I don't know if Republicans do or not because I won't work for them. But, you know, it was rough for my dad to know that. I thought Bill Clinton was spiffy. Still do.
Yes.
Bill Clinton was the best. Because he's a good mix of me in a certain way, and that is, you know, I'm savvy to a certain extent.
Yes.
I can be well spoken when I want to. I don't have to swear. I just enjoy it. Why wouldn't I use all the English words? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I love women. Love them.
I was gonna say you like a nice, well-rounded lady.
I do. Sometimes I like them when they're not wearing clothes. Now, the difference between me and Bill Clinton is I would never, ever cheat on my wife.
Oh,
have
yeah,
never cheated, will never cheat. I cheated on a girl when I was 16.
Yeah.
I still feel guilty. She went to Germany for the summer. I was 15, 16.
Was this full-blown cheating?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was my 15th summer. And this girl that I just really, 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 really had a thing for, and I had been, you know, going through the motions of becoming a thing, and then she went to Germany for the summer. And I was, at the time, a not unattractive, healthy libidoed teen who came across a girl who was built like something a Viking would steal.
Whoa.
And I spent a wonderful summer.
Yeah.
Nestled in the embrace of a Valkyrie. And yeah. And then it was just, I don't even remember really how it ended, other than by the time she got back, everybody knew, because Utah's not that big. And yeah. I felt bad, and we didn't talk for a while, and we're Facebook friends now, and I've always wanted to apologize, but I was 15. It was 26 years ago, man. How do you apologize? By the way, I remember when you were in Germany and I stooped the blonde Viking. I'm sorry. I was wrong.
I know it's kind of ironic that she was an Aryan princess and you were in Bavaria at the time. But
oh, my goodness. She was something.
That's a dream of mine.
It was. You could have put the little hat with the horns on her, the whole thing, and it would have been, you know.
You just wanted her to pick you up and just crush you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was big then, too. She had a trailer. She had a little. It was an 18-foot tag-along trailer, a caravan, I believe you call them in the pre-colonials, and it was out in front of her house, and that's just where she lived in the summer. Whoa. You know, it was in a more innocent time.
So it was a love shack.
There was for me, yeah. And I did. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's like I loved the original girl. Loved her to pieces. Had dreams about it. The Dead Milkmen song.
Yeah.
Punk rock girl still reminds me of her. That's a great song.
Well, we should remind the listeners that at this time, you had absolutely no way to contact her other than writing.
Yeah.
You know, so it was.
Thank
like
you for the historical context. It wasn't like I could text or Skype or something. Yeah,
no,
it was a 2-week turnaround on mail.
So I mean, that obviously psychologically that could affect you. You know,
I knew better.
Yeah, there's no excuse. You know, man, I'm with you, bro.
But in this day and age, she would have known inside a week.
Oh my God.
At least she had a delightful summer and didn't find out till she hit the airport after.
You are very. You see, like, I was that age.
20 minutes ago.
20 minutes ago when the internet was really coming into its heyday. It was a very awkward time where things were starting to get connected, but weren't. So, you know, people are like, in a chat, like if you'd had friends in the chat room, they could tell friends in another chat room, and then maybe it'll get back to you.
Yeah. I remember that, the old AOL days.
Oh, yeah.
ICQ. Times, you know.
COL up here. Canada Online.
Oh, okay.
No.
You've got mail, eh?
You got mail. Mail, eh? Mail. But, okay, you know. Don't cheat, I think, is the lesson of this Tell Me a Story.
Yeah. Be nice to different kids. Watch out for poo socks. Yep. Mm-hmm. Don't cheat on the punk rock girl with the Valkyrie.
Although, I mean, it's hard. That the description, that's hard. But don't do it.
Don't do it. No, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is it's like, don't cheat.
Don't fucking cheat.
Yeah. Be a good person. Be a liberal, because Republicans and lefties and or righties and conservative typies, and they're all awful.
Terrible. They're either too dumb to know that they're fucking themselves, or so evil that they know they're fucking themselves.
Right. All right, buddy. I'm going to call that a show. What do you think?
I had a great time. You know, I'm not an entertainer. I'm not a radio personality, but
you
and
are
I'm not really,
now though.
What's I'm now?
You
yeah,
are now.
Really, it's just again,
with the whole 322. You're on the. I have to send these to you. I've got palm cards for you to look at.
Oh, you need my address, don't you?
Yeah, you can send that over to me.
So for all listeners, my address is
4th Dog. Leg.
Right. You need to. Okay, take the next dog sled 3,000 miles.
hey, wait. It's. I guess if they're sending it via Canada Mail.
Yeah, basically.
Expensive and slow.
If you're going to send anything to me via mail, you're going to at least need $300 cash.
Yeah, it might be expensive, but at least it's slow.
Exactly.
All right, thanks, buddy.
But it will get to me. All right.
It will.
Close to you.